At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Where did that come from?
I thought a video of a dad, I thought, oh, I've got to fucking do that.
Why did that come in?
I don't know. It literally, I don't know if I was watching TikTok or something, but fucking, just that intro back on the old fucking WWF, when it was fucking WWF. Do you remember the fucking thrill of just watching those dickheads come out?
Yeah, that attitude era.
Yeah, and it was just, they banged that out. Road Dog Jesse James, the badass Billy Gunn, and it was all bam, yes, shit's yeah. About to go off because they've just done that, and then the old fucking suck it.
Yeah, you couldn't do that now, aren't they?
Nah, fucking. Rob, so yeah, welcome back to the Real Talking Podcast, episode 5, and I think I've seen you somewhere this week. I don't know if I've seen you on the TV, or maybe on my phone. YouTube. That's it. Managed to get all the shit sorted out. So YouTube is up and running. Real Talking Podcast on YouTube. Search for it, you'll find us. It will all be linked on Twitter as well. Don't forget to follow and subscribe and everything called and that. Tell your mum, tell your dad, tell your nan, tell everyone. Get them to listen, get them to follow, and obviously give the thumbs up. So, back to it again.
Yeah, back to it. Right. On this week's podcast, I want to talk about paranormal activities. So, you know, so one of my work colleagues went on a ghost tour and it just got me thinking, like, I've never seen anything paranormal, but I've always wanted to.
Yeah, so you've had no experience.
Nah. And when I watch all these ghost programs and I hear the people's stories, I'm like, that's wild. That's wild, and I've always wanted to have an experience like that. So I thought, you know, we could talk about that on this week's episode, and you know, let's get spooky, I suppose.
Yeah, well, I've had a few experiences. I mean, it never really helps. You go through a tunnel of watching TikToks and videos and that, and you go down a little spiral.
Black hole.
Yeah, you'll start watching one, and then you're sitting there in the dark, it's probably like 10 o'clock at night, and you're watching all these spooky videos, and you start to think, well, what the fuck was that? Mm. You know, you feel like you've heard stuff. But my experience has come before any of these TikTok videos and all that.
And just going back to the online stuff, it's hard to, when you watch the online stuff, some of them just like, even it's real, you just can't believe that it's real because it's just like it seems.
You see the thumbnail and you're like, well, there's that much effort and such an expression that it's probably bullshit again, isn't it? Especially with those American Ghost Hunter ones where it's such a thing, and then they go back and revise the video footage afterwards and stuff. There's nothing there, was that?
Yeah. Does wind me up is the TV shows. It just because. You know, they can't go somewhere and spend 24 hours and be like, nope, nothing happened. Like, you just can't do it. So, for me, just like, where do you draw the line of what's fact and what's fiction there? Like, what is scripted? Because, I don't know, maybe it's not. There's no experiences.
Yeah, definitely some of it is scripted. Now, I watched the, I don't know if it was 27 or 28 days, the length of it. It's a newish one on Netflix anyway. So there was 3 couples go to different venues, and they're like a medium or whatever. Each one's already got their own traits, and they go there, and I see with this one geezer, he's started to get possessed and he's given traits of this murderer that used to live in this building or something. And I just feel like it's a bit forced. And they've definitely done research on it and they've tried to egg on these sorts of emotions and whatnot. So
when there's a camera there, it's just hard.
You have to perform for it.
Yeah, you have to sell, I suppose.
Yeah, and I mean, for everyone that does believe in it all.
Well, 34% of British people believe in ghosts, according to
you. And that's just the British.
Yeah.
So I think they have to make it dramatic and entice people in. Because otherwise, if it literally was just an hour of someone just sitting in a dark room and nothing happens, you wouldn't really watch it, would you?
And why does it have to be at night time? I've always wondered this. So when they go around in the day, most of them do a test run, not on all of them, but they go around so they get a layout of the place.
They'll give the history of the building and whatnot. And, this happened in this room back in 1300s and that.
But why does it always seem, why does it have to be night time? I never understood that. Is this something to do with, I'm sure there's a reason to it. It's got to be a reason.
I don't know why ghosts would be more active during the night.
Is it just because everything's quiet, everyone's in case it's
maybe because of noise pollution from the car traffic and light pollution from outside sources. But I did see a video, I wish I took note of the chap's name, to be honest. He had this device, it might have been an app on his phone, that essentially he's walking around this woodland area near his house, and essentially whatever spirits are by you.
Oh, a spirit box.
Might have been a spirit box.
Yeah, I think they're called a spirit box.
But it was literally
and he keeps going through channels, so a white noise, but channels.
It's literally he's just holding his phone or something. Because I think he had a head cam on, so as he's walking around, you could only see what he's looking at.
Yeah.
And you could hear the Siri voice talking back to him.
Mm.
And he's walking along and he's talking. He's the phone would say, "Not here. Turn around," and he's "Why should I turn around?" And he looks around, and obviously there's nothing there. And then he says the girl's name. He's "Oh, you Jess," whatever it was. Trying to have a bit of a conversation, and there is a bit of back and forth. Mm. "Where are you going?" "I'm going to that barn." So walks up to the barn. "Don't go. Don't enter. He's here." And again, it's down that rabbit hole of you starting to feel a bit freaked out as you're watching it. But it was quite interesting. So I've watched him for a few minutes and he's going there and there and he's finding out so-and-so's died here, whoever he's speaking to. It was an accident. And then towards the end of it, the entity has spoke his name. And he's shit, they know
the name.
Now I have to go because they know his name. Mm. He's this isn't a part of it, I've got to go now, I've got to go. Mm. I think his name is Dave or something. It was definitely a four-letter word name anyway. It's quite strange that it is mainly night time. And that's when most of my, two of my experiences, I've only had three, were night time. Actually, no, sorry. Only one was night time. Yeah, so it must just be to do it for added effect, maybe, with these shows.
Because I remember, I only remember the one story that you've had.
I thought I would have told you the other two.
What was your first one?
Well, the first one, so where my dad and the brothers grew up in Nichelles, the lovely area near Birmingham Town Centre. So Nan and Grandad's house, a few of the uncles still lived there when I was a child. And I mean, 2-3 years old, just about walking around and whatever. And Dad took me around, as he did every weekend, whatever it was. And it was a strange layout, because you walk through the front door, you go around to the left into the living room, and then the kitchen was around the back. And you got the stairs straight in front of you. And so Dad's in the kitchen having a cup of tea or whatever, I really don't know. And I'm just popping around. And it, there was always the chair that I looked to see to you. And I remember just sitting there, not really paying attention, and then I just started rocking. I don't know if it was me that was rocking, but I just remember just sitting there rocking, and I thought, no, get up.
How old was you?
Say about 2 or 3. This is one of my earliest memories, to be honest.
That's quite young.
Yeah.
That's quite young.
So, yeah, just rocking, and then I've got up out of the chair, and then I've walked around, stopped at the bottom of the stairs and looked up, and I've seen this woman just standing there, long black hair, an oldish woman, and she's mumbled something to me, but I didn't hear what she says.
Mm.
And I've says, what? Or something like that. And she's come down a couple of stairs, but I remember she was essentially floating because there wasn't, I didn't see feet walking down.
Yeah, kind of just floated down.
Yeah, and because she had a whitey grey top on, and it was a green skirt. I remember the green skirt as well. And so I didn't see feet. So in my head, I probably just thought the skirt was that long, that's why I didn't see the feet. Or I probably didn't think anything about it. But I remember it was the whitey grey top and the green skirt, because it was like a Jaguar green. It was a dark green.
Yeah,
it wasn't bright or anything.
The Royal, I think it's called Royal Green, that Jaguar green.
So, I remember that. And again, mumbled something, but I couldn't understand it. And so then Dad's called me, and I toddled round. And I don't think I ever said anything about it at that point.
Because you don't realise.
I didn't know what it was. And then I remember a couple of years later, after Mum and Dad got divorced, Dad had picked me up for the weekend, and I was round the house. I remember seeing this picture of Dad's Uncle John, the youngest, because John was probably 6 or 7 in his picture, and this lady, and I remember saying, who's this? I remember seeing her at the house. He's like, what are you on about? That's your nan. She died before I was born. So in 88, I think it was. I was like, no, she was at Uncle Martin's, I remember, because she was coming down the stairs to say something to me, and my dad being my dad, probably give me a slap or something. No, she's dead. And that always stuck with me, that, because I was like, I remember, I've never seen that picture before in my life.
You remember?
Because
I
didn't know that was Uncle John, because it was just a child next to Dad's, well, either side of Nan, essentially. And it was the long black hair, because that's what made me remember it, was the long black hair.
You know,
and she wasn't wearing the same clothes in that picture, either. Because, again, so I said it to Dad, he just dismissed it because he doesn't believe in anything like that. But, yeah, it always stuck with me. It was just a strange thing to just remember that, because it's one of the earliest memories, and I've never seen a picture.
You know when you think back and you see her, in your mind's eye, is she, solid or visible? Can you see through her?
Well, because it was the top of the stairs, the light wasn't switched on. So it was dark upstairs, and so
you could make out the colours perfect though.
Yeah, because it was a woman. I don't know if she was floating or the skirt was too long, but yeah, just a woman there. But because it was dark behind her, I could see her, and as I say, I could see the colours of the clothes.
Yeah,
and coming down only 2 or 3 steps. So started off on the landing and come down 2 or 3 steps. To repeat whatever it was. To be fair, she probably says something clear, but she had a thick Irish accent apparently still, so I wouldn't have understood. Probably saying hello, Jay, you little devil, something. Who are you, you ginger cunt? But I'd never forget that. And I remember telling Mum, and Mum was like, your nan used to always wear a green skirt and whatever and that. Obviously, I didn't know. That always stuck me in. You must have seen another picture of her in those clothes or something.
That's freaky.
No, because it was the top of the stairs. So that's, as I say, one of my earliest memories and the first experience. The second one was in Borsey Green. So remember we had those bunk beds. Well, me and my sister had those bunk beds. And so the way that the bedroom was, the bunk beds were up against the wall. At the same wall that the door was as you walked into the bedroom. And I was asleep, and I remember being woken up because I could feel hands around my ankles pushing down. So
okay. So you're pushing you like towards just, the mattress.
Yeah, as if they were trying to
hold
my ankles down. Now I thought at first as I was waking up that it was my sister, trying to pull me down out of the bed or something. But as I woke up, I've just seen just sort of like a shadow, because the door was open and the light was on, and that was like a black shadow. And obviously the bunk bed's high.
Yeah.
But like I could see like the almost like the shoulders and the head sort of silhouettes, and just feel these hands pushing my feet down. Again, I was probably like 8 or something at this point.
It's free.
As I've sort of seen this, I've like shook, and it's like as I've sort of turned and like shook it off, and then looked back around, it's gone. And Shan wasn't even in, so she wasn't on the bed underneath. She must have been out gallivanting or whatever. Gallivanting his house, having a good time for people that don't know.
That's an
old-fashioned word, yeah. Shan wasn't in. Mum was in bed. I don't even know why the landing light was on, to be fair. I've got out of bed. I'm looking around. Shan's not in bed. There's no one awake. Mum wasn't with anyone else at that point as well. It wasn't before fucking Gary. I didn't know what had gone on. I don't think I slept the rest of that night.
No, you just could have.
Yeah, it was weird, absolutely weird. I still feel the goosebumps about it now, because that was more of a threatening thing. The first one with Nan, it was all.
You're too young to understand.
Yeah, but because I was sort of at that point, I know I definitely already watched It, the original It, because I used to hate having a bath then. Because always had the vision of his hand coming out of the plug hole and that. Oh, God, it used to creep me out.
You know what used to, going a little bit, you know what you said that used to creep you out? You know what used to creep me out? The Michael Jackson Thriller.
That did it for a lot of people, though, didn't it? Because the most expensive music video at the time as well, wasn't it? And obviously all the makeup that went on and it was, you see the films and everything now, it looks like a fucking shit show. But the effects of it at the time, it was realistic. You know, there was actual horror movies out at that point that wasn't as good as a quality as that that video. So yeah, I get that.
When I was young, I just couldn't get over it, trying to get to sleep and just thinking there's a werewolf.
It was Freddy Krueger that done me as a child as well. Why I was allowed to watch Freddy Krueger as a child, I don't know.
It's different, you know. Yeah.
I remember I laughed my head off the first time I watched The Exorcist. Because when she just froze up all over the priest and that, I was crying. Because it was the first, again, that was when it was in Boys of Green, because it was the first time it was ever put on normal TV. Because it was banned on the cinemas and all sorts. So, yeah, I mean, we probably had just about started secondary school, so might have been 11. I remember it on the TV, and it was like 1 o'clock in the morning. I'd stayed up to watch it, and I don't think Chantal watched too much of it. I think she got scared. But I was just sitting there laughing. I was like, how did people run out of the cinemas scared of this? Obviously it was scary to some people.
At that time.
Oh, God. I just found it so funny.
And then what was your other experience?
So the third one, which really, that was probably 14 years ago now. I was on a house rewire. And as you do, sometimes you find the odd treasure. Never found anything worth any good value, whatever, anyway. But it was in a loft, and I found this old radio that you had to dial to tune.
With the aerial sticking out.
Yeah, a full extendable aerial that you pull out 3 or 4 times to try and get the best signal. And you plug it into the wall. More about a space for batteries to go in, but I definitely plugged it in. And it was well before the digital era, because you had the little dial that would move up and down the numbers, so you could fine-tune your radio. And at that point, I was like, oh yeah, great, I haven't got a radio, so I'll take this one then, because the customers didn't need it. And then it was every job after that, didn't matter where I was, what station I was listening to, which back then was most likely Radio 1 or Galaxy or something, and it would always retune itself to classical FM. And as I say, it was a physical dial you had to turn.
And it kept going back.
It would always go back and stop on classical FM. And I ended up just throwing it in a skip in the end. It was just weeks and weeks of being haunted by this radio retune itself. Because I remember just walking back from it, and it, like, within seconds, it would retune itself, and the knob wasn't loose or anything. That would, and if it was loose, why would it stop on that station? Because it was, it's not like it was at the end of the line. It was, it's in the middle. It was like 107 or something. But
it kept going back to classical.
It could always just stop back on that station. So I had to get rid of it. Because that always reminded me of one of the original Amityville horror movies, where it was the lamp that was haunted. I was like, I ain't having this. I ain't having a haunted radio anymore. So I just fucked it off. Absolutely freaked me out, that did. I bet it's still there, tuning itself to classic
ghost,
FM in someone else's
yeah.
house now. So that's all my experiences of it. Now, I know you haven't had an experience, but you told me that your mum and dad did in
yeah.
your old house.
Yeah, so we used to live in, you know, just a traditional house where, well, British house, you open the door, stairs right in front of you, living room to your right. And my mum and dad had a solid oak frame bed, like really heavy.
Yeah.
And my mum and dad used to go to bed pretty early. And I remember all us kids was downstairs and we just heard a massive bang, bang. And we thought, oh, dad must have, you know, fallen out of bed because, you know, he was a big guy. And then about 20 seconds later, bang. And it was you know, shook up. And then mum and dad came running down the stairs and I was like, the bed just lifted. And I remember my brother going, what do you mean it lifted? And my mum went, it went up in the air for about 2 seconds and dropped. They looked at each other, frozen, and it happened again. And they're just like, what, fuck that, and just went running down the stairs.
Yeah.
But my mum was doing tarot card reading.
Oh, remember she did
yeah,
that
yeah.
little thing.
So
yeah.
she'd done that before the night this happened.
Right.
So, you know, I don't know if that had any connection to me.
Might have done, yeah.
But my partner had a really good ghost story. When she told me, and her mum told me, I remember thinking, I want to see something like this. Because this
yeah.
is the thing, I want to have an experience like this, but obviously not in my own house.
Yeah. I'll put the Ouija board away then.
So, her house was the same. You open the door, stairs going up, the living room to your left. But
yeah.
When you open her front door, there were steps going down.
Mm-hmm.
And she said one day she opened the door and there was just a head floating up, going towards the door. So they've closed the door and you could see the head through the partial glass in the door.
Yeah.
And there was, you know, shitting themselves as she would.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
They've run upstairs, I look at the window and they've just seen his head just turn around. Like, so I think it was like the head and shoulders.
Good shampoo.
So anyway.
Joe Marks will be loving that one, isn't it? No dad dropped there.
Yeah. Other shampoos are available. So just pretty much just turn around and float down the stairs and just disappear. Which I thought that was, I remember when she told me, I remember getting freaked out, like, yeah.
Yeah. But that reminds me, actually. So my sister, she's had a few experiences as well. One being in a haunted location, the Sheldon Hall, which I think it was, they were in there late, ready to close up and whatnot, and then just items would start moving around, a fork would fly off a table and whatever. But the one time, so I've actually had four experience because I've just remembered it. When I was living with my sister, after she bought the house from mine, we was both in beds, and we could hear this, look, a pattering downstairs.
Fuck that.
So Shannon's shouted to me, "Is that you, Jack?" And then I've opened the bedroom door. I was like, "No." Well, who's downstairs? I don't know where a fella was at the time. I don't know if he was working nights or anything. And you could clearly hear walking from the living room into the kitchen. Mm. And it almost sounded like the fridge door opened and closed. Now, what the weird thing was then, because granddad had not long died. So,
I was about to say, has anything happened before this happened? But obviously,
so because it was like it sounded like the fridge had opened and closed, I was like, "Grandad," like shouted downstairs, and it just stopped. Like the footsteps stopped, but at that point, it had already gone back into the living room. So, if you remember with Shan's house, when you come through, there was the like a frosted glass. Like sort of seen into the living room a little bit, but the door was on the left. So Grandad would always sit behind that frosted glass, and he'd walk into the kitchen, get his tinny out, and walk back in and like have his drink. And so it sounded like he'd done that he'd walked around and then gone back into the living room again after getting himself a ghost dinner.
ghost dinner.
Yeah. But because not long after that, I moved out then. But Shan had a few more experiences where she was like, "Ah, it's just Grandad again." Because I remember the one time she told me that Brooke was in her bed and she was literally screaming at this wall. Something was there.
Yeah.
And she's crying hysterically, and Shan's gone into the bedroom. That was the box bedroom at that point. Yeah.
Because your sister still lives there, does she have any, like...
To be honest, I'll have to ask her. Yeah. It's all just putting back to me, to be fair, now. But yeah, Brooklyn's full-on screaming. Something was there and she's had to get her out of the bedroom. And I think they slept downstairs for the rest of that night. But yeah, there was a few times that, like, you know, heard footsteps and whatever. So, it's just Grandad. Mm. It's just Grandad. Because he used to make me laugh with that. They say, sit behind the door. Because the theory was, he had this frosted glass next to him. Mum and Nan would be in the kitchen talking away, but he'd always have his sneaky bottle of whiskey in his jacket, even though Nan knew. So he'd be able to see if Nan was walking into the living room so he could hide his bottle of whiskey away again. Always sit there, he had bad psoriasis. Could have done with some head and shoulders on his knees. And he'd scratch away, and there'd just be a pile of dead skin, just flakes on the floor. I know that'll probably happen to me one day, but it was not a good sight to see.
It'd be interesting if your sister's still having these experiences.
I'm
going
to have to ask her now,
Because that's what I'm saying. It'd be nice to experience them, but not in your own home. Because you don't want to be fearful of being left, obviously.
No, I wouldn't want to have it in my own house. Yeah. That's why I've never actually do a Ouija board or anything with anyone. Because you see of all these stories of people getting followed back home and everything. And then it stays in the house of the person it's happened to. I couldn't have that.
Also, with this, just as you were saying, I was like, who came up with the idea of a Luigi board?
Not fucking Mario.
But then who came up with the concept that if you put a glass and your finger on top, do you know what I'm saying? Like, how did that come about? Like, where did that... How did someone come up with that's how you contact the afterlife?
Yeah.
It's a bit... I mean,
it's been around for a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's like,
so where did that idea come from?
Yeah. It's the same as all ideas. You know, you think of how did someone think to mix this with that to create this, you know, like a meal of sorts or medicine or whatever.
Mm.
There's a lot of clever people out there. We're not on that spectrum.
Mm. Well, clearly. No. Luigi
It's me, Luigi boy.
Because, well, as I said, I've always wanted to experience something that I can't explain. And me and my partner have done a few ghost tours.
Yeah.
And we went to the 30 East Drive in Pontefract. And now that was supposed to be one of the most haunted houses in the UK. They've done a movie about it.
Yeah, I've not seen the movie. I'm going to have a look out for that.
Yeah. Anyway... So we went there because we've done ghost tours on a larger scale and they have 30 people there.
Mm.
and they split you up into groups. You do your own bits and bobs, but if you hear something, you just like, well, it could be the other group.
Yeah.
So it takes that illusion of why, of what if you do see or hear something, can it, you can't debunk it live. Because
mm-hmm.
if you hear a noise, oh, it's the other group. If something happens, the other group. So we've done Third East Drive, and there was six of us, the ghost tour rep, and a medium. And we went there, and I was thinking, I want to be so scared, I walk out the door. Also, side note, when I watch ghost shows and they see, like, well, the hero goes, don't panic and run away, but surely it's your job to run towards it.
Well, yeah,
you would be like, to get it, to get that shot.
You would want to, but I suppose if you're in the moment and you're already freaked out, you're like, what this?
Yeah, but then you'd be like, fuck, I'm going to get the best video footage ever. Ghost, oi, run towards it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we went there and absolutely nothing happened.
Mm.
Nothing whatsoever. I'm like, oh my God, like, so that's what I was saying earlier about the ghost shows. You know, you can't, if they go somewhere and they spend the whole night there and nothing happens, they can't just go to, like, the producers and the TV network. Yeah, nothing happened, mate.
Yeah.
Like, it's not haunted.
Oh, no. It used to be a weekly routine, didn't it? Well, it did with, in my household. Mum would get the TV ready, watching Most Haunted with Derek Acora.
Yeah.
And he's
Sam.
Sam. His psychic aid, wasn't it?
Sam.
His spirit guide, Sam. Sam's here. Oh, yes, there's this and that. And it was always the same on their live shows. There'd be next to
nothing
would happen.
And do you remember every time they used to hear a noise, they used to scream, ah!
Yeah.
And like zoom in, like if they saw like what was supposed to be an orb, they zoom in 10 times, like we get it, like we
and
see
it's
it.
Obviously a bit of dust floating around because they've just opened the door to a room that's not been opened for 50 years,
but
so it's dust floating around. And the way they'd always zoom in on the presenter's face, like, no, that noise has happened now, turn around, fucking have a look at that.
And with the live, I remember, with the live, because nothing used to happen, but you could text in, and there used to be like, Megan from Scarborough feels a presence of a ghost
was,
called William.
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up. No, you don't.
It was early days of the internet as well.
Yeah.
Watch stuff on live, because I remember they had like 10 webcams.
Oh, and you could watch,
individual cameras, and it's like, Jeff from fucking Birmingham has found this bit, this timestamp. And they try and look back, and there's nothing there. Now, Jeff, you fucking had too many drinks.
Yeah.
It's late on a Saturday night. You've been fucking drinking since 12.
Jeff was watching some recaps.
Get your cock out around your birth. Look, it was always fucking just nothing would happen. But it's, I mean, we used to enjoy it.
It was new at the time, wasn't it? It was, like, for us coming up, it was a new feeling towards paranormal, because I can't remember anything before.
Apart from films and...
But look, on a weekly basis, because I'm sure we was like, in UK, was on Sky Living or Sky One at 9 o'clock on a Thursday.
It would have been Sky One. Sky Living wouldn't have been around back then.
Or something.
Because I remember when it was four channels. I remember sitting there
waiting for channel five
to go live. Literally, I remember I was in Mum's bedroom, because she had a TV in hers, a little portable fucking double-decker house, and it was like, it was the five-colour screen at first, where it was like the red, blue, green, pink, whatever it was, and say it was 4 o'clock, it came on, and whatever programme first started up, I was sitting there watching that, so that was like, I don't know, I was probably 8 or something at that time, but I remember sitting there all the time, a new TV channel, there was just never anything good on it.
No, probably still is. But no, just going back to like the ghost stuff, Most Haunted was groundbreaking in terms of it put it back in people's minds.
Yeah.
But as I said, I'd love to have an experience. I mean, I've got some of the top five haunted UKs.
Yeah.
Places from hauntedrooms.co.uk. So coming in number five, Ballygally Castle.
Ballygally.
In Northern Ireland. In number four, we've got Bury Pomeroy Castle in Devon. And then we've got Bortley Rectory in Essex, a third. Pendle Hill. Now, I remember that one on Most Haunted, the Pendle Hill, because
I think it had something to do with witchcraft.
Yeah.
So, and that's in Lancashire. And then we've got a number one, HM Ram Inn in Gloucestershire, which I've never heard of that one.
I've not seen
but
that.
Maybe they did do them there, but
it's the most likely would have done.
The Pendle Hill one, I remember. Because I remember that was one of the most wild ones, the most haunted.
Yeah.
Shit was going off, son.
Yeah, it's been that long since I've watched any of those programmes now. But it probably wasn't the same episodes or programmes in general. But yeah, when you see like all these bloody ornaments just moving around and that.
And he used to always be off camera all the time.
Yeah.
Like that fucked me right off, that did.
You'd never clearly get like a fucking
toy
car.
Lifting them fucking off.
Yeah, getting launched and that. It's always the turnaround after it's chucked off the shelf or something.
Well, you see a ball move, but you don't know if that's floorboards or something like that.
Yeah.
Because, gravity and everything.
Yeah, there's not enough evidence out there.
No. But it'd be really interesting to do one.
I'd love to do it.
Like a small venue.
Yeah.
So you can just debunk everything. So there's no contamination. Nothing. Just season can be like, what the fuck?
Yeah. I think if/when we ever do it, it would have to be just us two and someone recording it. So there'd just be three people in general.
You know what we should do?
We'd need the head cams.
But we should have the head cams. You seen like the Trying Geezer? Francis.
Yeah, where it's the 360.
Yeah, and it's so.
We just look like a weird melanin.
Like reactions to it all. That'd be sick.
Yeah, we'd need those corner cameras and that around. And then actually have fucking cameras set up so they see the whole room as well.
So if it was a house,
that room has got a lot of activity, apparently. So we'd have a camera seeing all of it or several cameras around.
Yeah, because
it's always just one angle.
Mm.
And something happens off the camera.
Yeah.
But no, we need to be able to see everything. So again, with those 360 cameras, have that in the middle of the room then.
Yeah.
So you can physically see there's no one in that corner. Throwing the stone or whatever. It'd be interesting to do.
Mate, it would be. Honestly, it's just something that, as I've been getting older, and you watch these TV shows, and people telling the stories, that's wild. That can't be true.
Yeah.
I want to have that story where, guess what happens to me, son?
Mm.
And just go into it. But
yeah, I think if we was going to do it as well, not to do too much research on the venue as well, so we're not looking.
So we used to do like Derek Acorey, used to just go in blind.
Yeah. Because otherwise, if you know who died there, what kind of person there was, and what
activities have been going on, you're looking for him more.
Yeah, you're expecting something to happen then. But if we just get thrown in, there's activity here, go out of it, then get freaked out that way. Because otherwise, if you know that there's a fucking little girl running around, or a lady in white, you're looking out for
and
you'd start to imagine it.
Yeah.
And that's when your mind starts to play games. I saw that.
Yeah, you want to see.
Yeah, but it actually hasn't happened.
Might be interesting.
Yeah, I think it's definitely something we should look into at some point.
We're going to do it in the summertime now, because
it's still lighter on the afternoon.
Because I've done three of these ghost tours, and I've always done them in the winter.
It's always Halloween time when they start popping up, isn't it? But yeah, you don't want to be
shivering,
seeing your own breath and thinking, fucking hell, that's something in front of me, when it's just your dragon breath coming out. No, I think, we should definitely look into that. Again, have you ever had a psychic reading or anything?
No, so when I went to Fairly East Drive, the medium done readings at the end, so you had half an hour, you could go through the house on your own,
mm-hmm.
or you could have a reading, and I think she gave me a reading, and we did tarot cards, and all mine was money, which is obviously a lie, because I haven't got none. If I remember correctly, I had to pull three or four cards, or she did, mm-hmm. it was all money related. It's not come true, mate.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of those out there that just have an idea of what the cards mean. So they're like, oh yeah, let's just fucking pull them out.
But again,
they'll give a basic reading. They haven't actually got any of a sixth sense to know what's going on.
But again, who was them? Like, no, what card? Yeah, you pull a card, it means something. And people, like, obviously back then, I assume people was more gullible. But like, you know, to pull a card and that means what it, oh, death, oh, you're gonna have death.
Yeah.
Well,
I think, you know, when like people do mushrooms and LSD or whatever. Now, not that we've done any of it, which I think that would be a nice special episode if we get fucking off our face on something. But when you hear about their stories and experiences when they're having this high, and they're seeing all these what people's auras, and they'll have a vision of someone else there and that. I think it's probably something like that, really, where they've had these mushrooms fucking a couple hundred years ago, and they've had this collective thought. Because it's, if you go on the internet now, say we had a trip on mushrooms or whatever, and we saw an image of a serpent, other people have given their experiences online, so you can find out what this entity or whatever it is that all these other people have had the same vision that you've had. So I feel like there's potentially like a primal psychic link with everyone, and with this extra paranormal world that there is, that maybe it stems from that someone who has the abilities has actually been given that information to put the jester, the devil, the swords and whatever onto these tarot cards, and illustrate it to the world so they can pass that knowledge on to other people.
The one thing that really bothered me about paranormal is, in a world where everything's digital, everyone's got smartphones, there still hasn't been that defining, like, this is a ghost.
Yeah. There's
evidence, like, that game changer for me.
Yeah, there's a lot of bullshit ones out there.
Yeah, that, yeah.
People are setting up these web cameras and that in the rooms, and then something happens.
Have you seen the alien ones?
I've seen a few.
Oh my god.
They're all trying to, with the alien ones, they're trying to recapture that fucking hype. Remember Sixth Sense, the film?
Yeah.
Remember the only clip when you see the alien walk past, and that freaked the fucking life out of me. I think they're all trying to capture that same bit, because I saw one literally the other day where he's come rushing out of his house, and he just so happens to have a cornfield outside, the same as the film. And you see a bit of rustling and this and that. It's like, bro, you're going to, especially over in America, you're going to go out with your gun and you're just going to fucking start firing.
Yeah.
Not like, oh, what is he? Oh, it's looking at me. No, it's all, they're bullshit.
That's an interesting thing, because obviously, America's a young country in terms of age, but it seems to have some of the most haunted places.
Yeah, because they're all on Indian burial grounds, aren't they?
Right, yeah. Because obviously, every country's had civil wars, wars, just conflicts. But for a country so young, it seems to have
a lot of activity.
A lot.
Yeah, it's. I think because there was obviously people there before it's America as it is. So I think a lot of it will be that kind of hauntings. But yeah, when you see it's like, you know, Deirdre that died 50 years ago and now she's haunting this fucking massive house.
Mm.
I think some of them might be a bit bullshit.
But it seems to be like the most intense ones, like Amityville.
Yeah, the Amityville horror.
You know, there's a few places there.
Well, I know probably the best one that I've seen of the America, I only knew about it from the film originally, called The Entity. So I think the film was back in the 80s. Essentially, it's this woman, she's in this house, and this entity, this ghost, poltergeist, a demon or something, keeps raping her over and over, and she goes to...
And this is a true story.
Yeah. So she goes to doctors and scientists and that to get help.
Does that boy Scary Movie 2 do that scene where the ghost fucks?
Probably.
Yeah, okay.
But obviously in Scary Movie, she was enjoying it. Yeah, this woman wasn't.
She had Wednesdays and underwear on Saturday.
It goes over and over at the start running tests. And so these scientists, they're actually finding that it's actually happening. They don't find any proof of a ghost or something actually there, but because they've got the equipment set up so that they can feel her emotions and essentially that she's getting raped. So they know all about that. And then I don't know why she's stuck in that house for so long, because it's gone on for a few years.
You would just fuck off.
But then that's the thing. She moved and it followed her. So it was her that was being haunted, not the actual house.
Ooh.
So as far as I know, the last that I actually looked into it, she was
still
alive.
She needs to get cleansed.
She tried literally everything. People done what they could. There was exorcisms and everything. And it just still, it followed her. And the last that I've seen of it, wherever she was.
It was still happening?
Yeah. Not as frequent as when she was younger. I suppose the ghost, any person, is just going to get bored of sex over time. happened a bit earlier with my wife, but that's for another rant.
We ain't got time for another one of them, Jack.
Not another fucking one. Yeah, we're still going to slag off Sam Smith, yeah. But, it's I think that's the biggest one. But, again, I feel that's more of a demon sort of thing, not a ghost. But,
a possession, isn't it?
Yeah, but she definitely was the haunted object, the person. It wasn't a house. She has moved several times. I believe she moved to a different state as well.
And he's still
followed her.
That's creepy.
Yeah. But it's,
as I said, you don't want in your own house, though, do you? You don't want those in your own house.
I think they did do a remake of it recently. But not all remakes are as good. Because, again, Ryan Reynolds did a remake of Amityville Horror, and that wasn't a good film. I mean, it was probably on par with Green Lantern, really.
I like Green Lantern.
It was good.
I like Green Lantern.
But it wasn't as good as everyone expected to be. It's no Deadpool. Right, so I think on that bombshell, we should leave it there.
Yeah.
And so don't forget, it will be up on YouTube, Real Talking Podcast, Real Talking Pod on Twitter. You've still got to email us. We've got no questions. We need just to send in questions, your thoughts, anything that you want. Gmail, realtalkingpod@gmail.com on the Twitter and that as well. Just send them in. We're here for anything, any kind of posts. So, and that's a pod.
That's a pod.